Hey, this is Dan,
and this is Mike,
and this is Colton,
and we're here for another beer cast. This is the second beer cast. So the way that we did it last time is Colton, our resident beer expert, selected six different beers. We tasted them. We gave our notes. Colton chose who gave better notes and kind of used our guesses on ABV to help determine who was the winner. We're going to be using a similar format this time with a couple of twists. So one is all summer beers. Is that right, Colton?
Yeah. Today the theme is summer beers, and that's what you'll be tasting for the same six rounds.
And instead of going by tasting notes, we're going to go by ABV. So whoever is better at guessing the ABV, now the tasting notes are just going to be a tiebreaker.
Yeah. This is an objective scoring system.
Yeah. Because you complained about the judging last time.
I mean, I filed a formal protest. And I was not happy with the appeal process either. Roger Goodell over here, I don't know, I think he's a little biased.
I'd just like to point out that you did win.
Yeah, okay, so it's true. So all's well that ends well.
Exactly, the ends do justify the means when it comes to beer.
I respect that.
All right, so I guess, are we about ready to get started? Or is there more notes before we get started?
Yeah, let's just make the comment that, for one thing, so the audience knows, the ABV guessing competition will be not Price is Right style, as they say. It's just whoever is closer in absolute value. And if there is a tie where they guess the same distance away from the true value or the same number, I will determine the winner of that round by who gave better tasting notes. On top of that, since today's theme is summer beers, Dan and Mike will, over the course of six rounds, come together at the end and decide which of these was the best summer beer.
Yeah.
So there will be both a contestant champion and a beer champion.
Double champ. I like it. All right. Why don't we get started with the first beer?
All right, gentlemen. You have before you beer number one. Please engage with the beer. As a reminder for our listeners at home, the things that you tend to look for are the appearance of the beer, the smell, the taste, and the mouthfeel. Those are the columns under which you can write your characteristics, and these guys are thinking about it, starting to make some notes. They have in front of them a remarkably clear beer. It's just a very pale yellow, a blonde beer that I can't describe its appearance too thoroughly. You can just see right through it.
Very beer looking.
We'll see what they have to say about it.
And has a beerish aroma, if you will.
Yeah, Mike got that one right. let's see, we'll have to decide which one of you gets to comment first, and Mike, as the reigning champion, would you like to kick off or receive?
Oh man, you always take the ball in the second half, so I will elect to wait. This is tough, so I guess receive? So he kicks off? How does this work? My metaphor just failed on itself.
I think
that was pretty brutal, actually.
I think Dan is going to give notes first, is what he's trying to say.
Yes, that's what I was going for.
So, I definitely was assuming it was a lager when I looked at it and when I smelled it. It seemed very lagerish. It was a little bit hopsier than I was expecting, for sure. It's not very aromatic at all. I did not pick up very much scent from it. It has a clean taste. I can definitely say this is a summer beer. Colton did a good job selecting his first of six summer beers. It has a crisp, somewhat wheaty taste to it. I don't think I would call it a wheat beer, though.
No, I wouldn't call it a wheat beer. I think you were right. I think it's probably in the lager family. I'd be pretty sure of that. I think it's either an American lager or an American pilsner. I actually had like a Lagunitas pilsner the other day that was pretty high in ABV for a pilsner, which is usually like a lower ABV beer. So you had the hoppiness to it. And this actually reminds me a lot of that Lagunitas pilsner I had. Because you have the hoppy notes on the end, and when when it hits your tongue and everything, but doesn't have like the same flavor profile of an ale. Like you said, it's very crisp. It's got a clean finish, I would say.
It has much more of a finish than I anticipated when I
lingers.
It lingers like on the back of your tongue, like it's got like a kick to it. I don't know what you call that. That's what I meant when I said it was crisp, and it's kind of manifests itself as a bit like I said, hopsier. It's a little more bitter than I expected, but it is tasty. It's crisp and it makes me want to drink more of it, which I know is called dryness, but I don't know if I would describe this as...
Yes, I think you nailed it. Dan, you're crushing these tasty notes. If we were still in the subjective scoring system, this would be a throttling in the first round.
Sometimes you defer and then they run it all the way back into the end zone for, you know...
Kickoff return for a touchdown?
Yeah, exactly. Does that metaphor hold up?
Yeah.
So... What you guys have in front of you...
Do we want to make an ABV guess first?
Oh, okay, yeah, before any revealing. Sure.
Yeah. Dan?
Dan is up first.
I'll say 6.4.
That is exactly what I was going to say.
Ooh.
On the nose.
Really? So now you got to go under or over.
Gosh, I mean, it was pretty hoppy, but lagers don't usually get much more than that. Oh, my goodness. That's actually... So you basically just set the over-under line for me. Gosh, that is tough.
You know, you don't have to go over under. You can go for the gusto and try to nail it exactly wherever it is.
But see, it's so tricky for me because I was going to say precisely 6.4. So I'm going to go ahead and say 6.5 and take the over.
Take the over.
And I think I probably just hosed myself. But
it's round one.
Yeah. I got time for a comeback.
All right. So the ABV on this one,
5.2. Should have took the under.
I know, I should have.
And
I knew I was high too. I mean, I thought I might have been high.
The one thing that you both sort of stumbled over is this is an ale.
Oh. Really?
I can buy that it's surprising. This is the Summer Love Ale from Victory Brewing.
And they're in Pennsylvania, is that right?
They are. They're in Pennsylvania. Victory is my favorite brewery. So that's why I picked this one out quick off the shelf.
Okay. I didn't know.
Funny thing is, they really don't say much about the Summer Love. They don't even say what style it is. They just call it an ale. And they don't tell you a whole lot about what went into it or what sort of flavor profile they were going for. But I think that Dan introduced the terms clean and crisp, and that's hitting it on the nose. That's what the flavor is. Not a whole lot of smell. It's got some floral notes that you guys caught as bitterness. But I think you did a really good job, and Dan got most of it first, and I think Mike would have said pretty similar if he had the chance.
I mean, that was just brutal. I feel like, thank goodness this is like boxing where you have rounds, because that was a landslide.
Exactly.
Beercast number two are already getting better, maybe? Maybe. Well, we'll see with the next
Have
five.
You been practicing?
No, well,
or have you been like doing like the Rocky montage and then like the, you know, the backdrop between Beercast
if
one
by,
and two?
If by Rocky montage you mean drinking a lot of beer and playing a lot of board games with my wife, then yes, I've been doing the Rocky montage.
As long as it has a soundtrack behind it, that counts.
Okay.
Beer number two?
Beer number two.
Comeback time. All right, Colton, what do we got here?
Well, during the break there, Mike wasted no time in snatching up his glass as soon as it was in front of him. I think he wanted to make use of every moment so that he doesn't fall any further behind.
Yeah, I'm going to have to start deflating footballs or something here.
All right, we all hate Tom Brady here. We don't need to go too deep.
Aren't you a Boston guy?
I lived in Boston. I'm a Steelers guy, and I hate Tom Brady.
I respect that. I mean, he definitely deflated some footballs, right? Regardless of the science.
He definitely did it. And the way I see it, he was attempting to gain an advantage, even though it's one he didn't need. So suspending him 4 games makes a lot of sense, because that's the same suspension you give for performance-enhancing drugs, which are attempting to gain an advantage, even if it's one you don't need.
Yeah. Gavel.
That's my logic.
Gavel.
I guess I'm up for this one.
Yeah. You are.
All right, let's see if I can duplicate Dan's outstanding first beer. Okay, so first thing I noticed, the aroma is very Belgian smelling to me. I think Belgian ales have a very distinct sort of aroma and taste, and this had a very Belgian aroma, and the color also kind of reminded me of a Belgian ale. The nice amber is a little murky, but not like super dark or anything. What's really interesting, though, is that the taste didn't remind me of, like, a typical, like, Belgian double or triple. I might be wrong here, but I had a Saison the other day, and I feel like this is maybe a Saison. I got some nice citrus notes in drinking this beer, and I don't know, I feel like that's probably pretty close. Saison, like a farmhouse ale or one of those type of beers is what this reminds me of. And that's pretty much all I got for tasting notes. I really enjoy this one, though.
Yeah, I agree. It's good. And I also noticed the scent, even from when I smelled it, it reminded me of that triple that we had in our last beer cast.
Double.
Was it a double?
Called it a triple.
Excuse me.
I'm poisoning your mind right here.
The scent reminded me of it. The taste is not quite as hearty or full as the ale that we had last time. It also, maybe I'm not remembering these Belgian ales properly. I am still the amateur here, but this is more effervescent and bubbly. It tingles my tongue more.
Yeah.
And so I think that would contribute to this having a summer feel to it. It definitely has the Belgian ale kind of taste to it, but with like a lighter, I don't want to overuse this word crisp because I know that's like a typical one with summer taste.
Yeah.
But like, it's just, it's not quite so.
But
so,
it's like, and we could be so wrong here on what this beer is, but for like all the Belgian characteristics that it has, it is lighter than most Belgian beers that I have, if that makes sense.
It's definitely light as far as ales go.
And it could be just some American brewery that does a Belgian style.
Entirely possible.
Anyways, I guess it's ABV time.
It certainly is.
I'm going to go with 5.8.
Okay. So I don't know if I should just do the over-under here. I'm going to go higher. I'm going to go 6.3. I'm not doing just the over-under.
Okay. I'll
give you a shot at.
I respect that.
Yeah.
We're going to play it honest.
Mm-hmm.
That's bold. The true ABV is 6.5.
Oh my goodness. Dan cleaning up.
Dan gets that one. Now, Saison is a Belgian style. And the sort of straight Abbey beers from Belgium, the double and the triple, those tend to get characterized as having, say, dark fruit notes or like spice notes. And might be a little bit confusing, might be a mingling of styles. This is a peppercorn Saison. Which means it is a Saison.
All right, well, I nailed the Saison part.
Made by an American brewery, 3 stars. And the peppercorn means that, you know, it's got some spices in there, which are going to make the flavor palette get a little bit closer to those Abbey-style ales. So, definitely a good call. Peppercorn Saison from 3 stars.
I feel like I have to cede this point to Mike for calling that it was a Saison, but I guess we're doing ABV rules here.
What you missed, I texted Colton over the weekend, and I had a Saison, and I said, I'm practicing for beer cast number 2. Completely joking, and then,
there
lo
was.
And behold, you know, I get a Saison from DC, so,
and you nailed
me
it.
That, yeah.
I was so hoping that you were going to call this a triple, but...
That was every beer cast, Mike has to incorrectly call some beer a triple. Like, that's the
that's
tradition.
That's going to be my calling card from now on. Definitely a triple. Well, at least I got some moral victory points, but Dan's rushing out to a big lead here.
This is a good round. It sounds like you guys have been studying.
If by studying you mean drinking a lot,
yeah,
then yes, sir.
Slowly becoming alcoholics.
Good, because it's only been like a month since the last one, so I... Let's move on to beer number 3.
All right.
Okay, gentlemen. Maybe it's just because this is a summer beer tasting... Pause for a moment as Dan sort of snapped back. But all of these so far have been pretty similar in color. So we had a blonde and then was a little orangish on the Saison. And this is somewhere in between a nice mellow shade of tawny golden clarity. Sitting before us. And none of these beers has had a lot of head. Only the Saison was really particularly bubbly as it poured. And of course, first go on this will fall to Dan once he feels ready.
It's got a much more distinct aroma than the previous ones we had. It's a very fruity flavor, and I'm trying to figure out exactly what fruit it is. I'm leaning towards like a. It's obviously not a cider, but it has a very fruity taste to it. It might be like a apple or pear ale or something like that. I had a pear ale a couple weeks ago. It tasted a little bit like this. But it's I'm trying to identify what fruit this is because it has a very smooth initial taste, very fruity. Like when I initially had the taste, I was wondering, wow, this is almost a cider. It almost tastes like a cider. But then it does have a little bit more of an intense. It kind of builds a little bit.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. It's very sweet. That's the number one adjective I would use to describe this beer. It's just sweet, almost syrupy. Not quite to that level. It's not like it's a cider, but. It definitely is sweeter than most beers you will have, and it does not have much of a lingering aftertaste or anything to that effect. In terms of, like, fruit notes, it's interesting you said pear. I think that's pretty close. I was going to say, like, white grape or pear. I don't know. It definitely got some, like, I think some grape notes. I'm not sure about apple. It's interesting because I don't know if I've ever really had a beer like this either because it doesn't seem... you know, necessarily, like, infused with fruit, like how a Shandy is. The Berry Weiss that I had from Leinenkugel's is a much sweeter, much even more carbonated kind of tasting version of this is how I would describe it. Like, if you took a Berry Weiss and you just, like, really toned it down, so it wasn't overpowering on the berry note, that's what I would think of this beer.
I'm going to issue one demerit point for saying Weiss instead of Vice.
What does that even mean? Am I missing something here?
Weiss is the German word for white, and it is a style of beer. And, you know, in Germany they pronounce their W's as V's, so.
File a formal protest over that demerit point.
You can't file a formal protest every beer cast.
I'm going to preside over that appeal.
So last time we had a beer that Colton said was champagne-y. And that this kind of reminds me of that, honestly, as with each sip, it's got like a, it almost tastes like a bubbly wine. Like there's the initial flavor, but then the something about like as it lingers on your tongue and there's the bubbles, it alters the flavor profile of it a little bit. I don't know what you'd call that sensation, but it's,
Yeah. All right, man, you want to make a gander at this thing?
I guess I go first, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to say 5.8.
I'm going to say 5.5.
Okay.
Before I reveal that number, I'm curious, when you guys talk about the fruit flavors in this and the sweetness in this, are those things that you find appealing in a summer beer in terms of a beer champion?
Very interesting. So back when I was a little sissy and had just started like drinking beer and stuff, one of my favorite beers was the Leinenkugel's Summer Shandy. Because it was just so freaking delicious. You know, especially when you're in college and, like, the alternative is, like, terrible stuff. Like Natty Light, Keystone, Busch Light, etc. That beer was so good in the summer because of the sweetness. Which, or not, I shouldn't say sweetness. That's actually more of, like, a sour because of the lemon than it is anything else. But those fruit flavors, I think, are really good in the summer because... after that, when I became a little bit less sissy, I liked the Blue Moon. Someone's like, hey, try Blue Moon with an orange wedge. And I said, this is pretty delicious. And for a while, I was like a wheat beer kind of guy. I've like slowly like evolved, I don't know, and all that kind of stuff. And you know, I almost like now I'm thinking about this, maybe apricot would have been a good thing to say for this beer. But to me, yeah, that is appealing. The only problem is, I now find that I get tired of drinking beers that are too sweet or have too much of a fruit note after a couple. It gets to be, like, almost, you get exhausted by how much of that flavor you get, the same way you get tired of drinking too much of a sugary soda. It's really delicious, and then you're like, ugh, I'm having a coma from this thing.
It's funny you say that, because I was going to compare the sensation of drinking sweet, fruity beers to drinking soda, because... it kind of, as you have more than just a couple sips, it kind of, almost, I don't know how you describe it, but it builds in like the back of your throat, like a syrupy feel to it.
Yeah.
Not that it's actually syrupy beer or whatever, but like when I have too many beers that I would describe as sweet and sugary, having a fruity flavor to it, I notice that sensation. I honestly, I'm noticing it a little bit now. So that's one reason I don't like to drink a whole bunch of sweet beers in a row. But I will tell you, the other day I was working on my driveway with my father-in-law. We were working on it for maybe 6 or 7 hours, and I was tired. It was hot and sweaty. I came in. I had a Blue Moon. I think it was a regular Blue Moon. I don't think it was one of their, because I did have a variety pack at the time. But and it like it's rare that a beer has ever hit the spot so nicely. Yeah. It was like exactly what I wanted after a long day out in the sun. So like it definitely has its place in the summer, but it's not what I want to be sipping all night, you know?
Yeah. But did you know if that Blue Moon was cold?
There were no blue mountains on it. How was I going to know? No blue mountains.
There were blue moons on it. Ergo, you can assume that it's cold.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Which could be misleading, though. Like, what if you...
You took out a warm one.
It was, like, boiling hot.
But there's still a blue... Yeah. I don't know, man.
I went through the same thing. I think Blue Moon is an important part of everyone's upbringing. Shock Top as well. Shout out to Shock Top. With that said, the ABV of the beer you've just consumed is 5.0.
We're back in the game.
And the beer itself, don't hate me, the South Street 365 Shandy.
Wow, so it was a Shandy.
Was a Shandy.
So I was sort of all over that, but then I said, nay, I don't feel like it is a Shandy.
You guys both talked around it, and you both brought up various fruits, but nobody said a lemon. I mean, this is an ale base blended with lemonade, and it's sweet, not sugary, because it's lemonade, not lemons. But, yeah, this is, I think South Street's in Arlington, so also pretty local. And that's what you get. It's a little funny to me because I spent time in Germany as a graduate student, and there they call shandies Radlers. And Radler is the word for a bicyclist because I guess it's a drink fit for a bicyclist. But anyway, a Radler...
Is that a demeaning bicyclists phrase there? Are sissies, like... or...?
They're all bicyclists. I think it's just like a refreshing drink at the end of a bicycle ride or something.
So it's not a demeaning
thing. Can you get a DUI while riding a bicycle?
Probably. I mean, I remember I learned in driver's ed that bikers were subject to all of the same traffic laws that drivers were.
That seems outrageous, but at the same time, I don't know.
Aren't you more likely to fall over?
Like, hurt yourself?
Yeah, but, like, at what point are we throwing people in jail for hurting themselves? Like, Plaxico Burress, as a Steelers fan, how ridiculous would it be if you shot yourself and you're like, man, that's like I have a bullet hole in my leg, and then someone throws you in jail for maiming yourself?
I think he was a giant at the time. Anyway.
Was he a giant? Yeah, oh, right, because he won the Super Bowl with that thing.
So, what I was getting around to saying is just that Radlers are half Pilsner, half lemonade, and in Europe, lemonade means lemon soda. So it's a little funny for me that this is an ale base rather than a lager Pilsner base.
Yeah.
But just throwing that out.
So, educate me. I guess you kind of just did. So, so when you say Radler or Shandy, that means it's part beer, part lemonade?
Correct.
And is it usually a 50-50 split or what?
No.
It could be 50-50, maybe more likely two-thirds beer, but there's not like a standard formula.
Okay.
Don't order one anyway. There's probably beer on the menu you can get instead.
Okay.
It's true though, right?
Not to taint too hard your judgments about which is the best summer beer here, but...
Yeah. I mean, shandies almost aren't beers for the same reason, like, you wouldn't call a snake bite where you mix a beer and a cider, a beer, because it's not all a substance you would consider a beer. I mean, it's literally you're mixing beer with another liquid. So I think that in and of itself almost like disqualifies shandies from being rated as beers. They're more of a mixed drink than they are anything.
Best summer beverage today, though. You know? Because even if it's not a beer, you can still like it better than beers if that's what floats your boat.
Yeah.
So we'll keep that in mind as we progress.
All right, so Colton, I have a question for you here.
Sir.
We just talked about shandies. What is the difference between a Berry Vice? Did I do that correctly?
Vice, yeah.
Vice? What's the difference between a Berry Vice and a shandy? Are Berry Vices still infused with, like, berry juice, same way a shandy is with lemonade?
I'll be honest, Berry Vice isn't a category that I'm familiar with, so I don't know if it's a kind of beer I haven't had, or if it's just the way they described that one beer for you. Either way, I would assume coming into it that let's say that it's a blend of berries rather than berry juice.
Yeah.
In a wheat beer, I would consider that more of a beer than a shandy is.
Right.
A lot of beers that I like have funny things mixed into the batch, mixed into the mash as it's being made. You know, like whether it's pumpkins or eggplant or honeydew melon or whatever. I've had all sorts of things, and if they throw berries in, to me that's just a normal way to make an interesting beer.
There's not a second, like, there's no subcategory of vices that are sort of like, you know, berry or citrus infused or something like that.
Not that I know of, but maybe it's there and I just never encountered it.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to kick off the second half, and Mike will look to gain from his deferral and maybe get a little momentum on his side. Maybe he can get back up to a tie ball game with this one. What they have in front of them is a little cloudy, maybe a lot cloudy. Still in the light beer category for sure in terms of color.
I mean, you might have given me two layups here. I don't know. This tastes like a Saison as well, or a farmhouse sort of ale. Could be wrong on that, but it's funny. When you drink beers, you get to be able to recognize the style, I think, a lot better, and I think I'm right on that. It's that specific aftertaste that I associate with Saisons. After you've finished it, and you kind of say, like, ah, and it lingers on your tongue, that's how I would evaluate this, and if I'm wrong, I'm going to be so sad, because I really do feel like this is another Saison. Dan, you want to chime in here? I gotta taste it a little bit more, but that was just my initial first gulp of this thing.
You're talking vices, and you're talking Saisons. I'm still not at the point where I can identify those specific types of beers. I mean, even just saying, yeah, this is an ale is a step for me here. But I would say that this is definitely an ale, and it's interesting you say farmhouse ale. Because I was just thinking, I've had a beer that tastes like this, and it's possible that it was, is from a Blue Moon sample pack I had about a month ago, has like a farmhouse ale is one of the ones in there. Maybe that's the one that I thought of. There's a very interesting flavor profile on this one. I take a sip of it, and it's got a good scent. I really enjoy the smell.
This is like a very aromatic.
It's like a, I don't know if I would call it a fruity scent, but it's, when I tasted it, I identified the flavor that I kind of smelled. It makes me think of vanilla. I don't know if there's actually vanilla in it, but that is like, it's like a...
this tastes like flowers to me.
Yeah.
Like, if you were to look at, like, a daisy and then somehow turn that visual into a taste, this tastes like wildflowers.
Well, you have to be careful, because floral is like a way you describe beer, and I think of that as more bitter than this.
Very possibly.
But, like, I like the pleasant sensation. Like, very, very smooth and very, like, peaceful.
Just makes me happy and warm.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of this beer.
And the ABV guessing.
I'm up first, right? I'm going to go with 6.3.
That's a good guess. I'm going to say 6.1.
5.5.
Damn, I am in trouble.
5.5. And well, you guys each still have a little bit in your glass. This isn't coming from the bottle. This is coming from my mind and tongue. But do you guys get banana out of this?
Ooh, interesting.
Let me see.
Yeah, that, what I was calling vanilla, I could definitely see you interpreting as banana. It's definitely something something smooth, like the vanilla or banana flavor in there.
Yeah.
Maybe?
I can see that. Almost like a vanilla wafer. Is how I would describe it.
Oh, okay. That sounds reasonable.
Which is sort of in between both of what you guys said.
Yeah, so banana, along with cloves, is sort of one of the traditional flavor descriptors of a Hefeweizen. This is not a Hefeweizen.
Oh!
Which is why I said the banana was coming from my tug and not from the beer. This is, however, a German wheat beer.
Oh, man.
Neither of us said wheat.
No, we did not.
Nobody said wheat.
I thought it, but I didn't say it.
When Mike opened by saying I had given him layups, I was worried that I had given away it was a wheat beer by describing it as cloudy. Those things often go hand in hand. However, Hefeweizens, Hefe is German for yeast, and they are even more cloudy because the yeast is left in the bottle. This is labeled Weissbier Helles, which means Helles is light, as in color. So this is a light wheat beer from Andex Brewery in Bavarian, Germany.
Wait, what was that again? Say the whole descriptor.
Weissbier Helles.
Helles?
H-E-L-L-E-S.
Okay.
From Andex, A-N-D-E-C-H-S, Andex.
Where's that? This Germany?
It's in Germany. Bavaria is the southern part of Germany.
What's so sad is that now that you say that this is a wheat beer, it absolutely tastes like a wheat beer. Like, that it has a distinctive sort of like wheat beer smoothness to it more than anything. It's not as sweet as I think a lot of wheat beers I have had in the United States are. And I think that was like a little bit of a throw up. But now that you mentioned it's like a wheat beer, like when it's like on your tongue, you can definitely get that.
That threw me off a little. For wheat beers, I think of it having a little bit more of a sweet tang to it.
That's exactly. I'm the same way. I always think wheat beers being on the sweeter side, but
I find this particular beer very refreshing in the sense that when it first hits my tongue, it's almost watery in terms of mouthfeel. So it feels like I'm drinking liquid. It feels refreshing, even though it's a little bit bready on the back end. So that's all I've got for that one.
So what are we sitting at? 3-1?
I am in trouble.
You gotta make a clean sweep here.
I know, I gotta go 2-for-2.
What happens if I get the elimination after this next beer?
What do you mean?
What if I go up 4-1?
Jeez, I feel like I should have a chance to redeem myself by guessing the ABV exactly on the last beer. If I hit it on the nose, I feel like that should be a redemption bonus.
I'd be happy to do that. So we can think a little bit more on that as Colton prepares beer number 5. Is that what we're on?
Beer number 5.
Beer number 5.
Flying through this.
All right, boys.
Beer number 5. It's a little bit darker and clearer than the last couple ones we had.
Yeah, I'd say this is the first one that borders on reddish. And while you guys are introducing yourselves to the beer and shaking its hand, I thought I'd let the listeners at home know a funny little quirk that I've noticed about how you're each giving your tastings. Mike tends to look at me while he's giving tasting notes as if he's looking for tells on my face to indicate if he's right or wrong. Dan tends to look at Mike when he's giving his tasting notes as if also to look for tells and see if he's right or wrong. He's just looking to a different authority.
I'm just trying to have a conversation about beer. I'm not, you know...
I'm not looking for tells. I'm more looking for how stupid am I being. Because if I'm truly embarrassing myself, I want to just, like, nip it in the bud before it gets too far out of whack. Like, well, that fun fact we just learned, that a porter and a stout is the same thing.
During the break, I did reveal that, this is what I know. If anyone wants to come to me and try to explain the difference between a porter and a stout, you're welcome to try. These are not summer beers at all, by the way. But, at first blush, I'm going to tell you you're crazy because the term stout is derived from the Guinness Extra Stout Porter, which was the porter that they exported, and they called it Extra Stout because of its flavor profile, and because the words Extra Stout were bigger than the word porter on the bottle, people started calling it a stout, and fall down to today. Maybe there's some cultural baggage that certain kinds of stouts are stouts and certain kinds of porters are porters, and I don't know. I think it's garbage. I say porter and stout are the same thing. But that's just me. Back to summer beers. Dan,
care to me?
Open this one up.
Yeah, it looks amber, and it's even hopsier than I was expecting it to be. It's fairly bitter. But I can still see why it would be considered a summer beer. It has a refreshing initial hit. But it has a more bitter aftertaste than I was expecting. It kind of fills your mouth with that aftertaste.
Yeah, see, I don't really like this one as a summer beer.
Yeah?
Because the aftertaste that it has is extremely strong, but more than that, it lingers for a long time. Like, I can still taste it from the last sip I just had. It almost grows after you've drank it. Instead of it being like, oh, I'm going to be a diminishing aftertaste, it almost crescendos in a way. you finish your sip, and then it gets, like, stronger in the aftertaste, and then gradually tails off. It's a little too bitter, and it's a little too hoppy for me, with a little bit too long of an aftertaste for it to, I don't know, for me to consider that a summer beer that I would like to drink. When I think summer beers, I want to think, like, outside or social gathering or something like that, warm. And this is more of a fall beer to me than it is a summer beer.
Yeah, I would say this might be my least favorite of the five that we've had tonight, just because the intensity of the aftertaste, I picked up on that as well. It kind of overpowers. It's initially pleasing on the tongue a little bit, but then it kind of goes away pretty quickly with the intensity of that aftertaste. And I can see what you're saying, how that the things that you associate with summer beer, about like the kind of casual, refreshing sipping that doesn't necessarily leave that much of a footprint on your tongue. It definitely does linger.
Yeah. I mean, when you think summer beers, what does that really like mean to you? To me, it means like if you're being active in some sort, this is a beer you'd want to drink. When it's warm weather and you're going to be an active, sort of sociable kind of person, that's the beer that's suited for that situation. Whereas like a winter beer to me just means, you know, bundled up and inside. So you're going to have like winter food and everything like that with it. Would you consider this a summer beer?
You know, I can, as I said, my initial reaction is that I could see why it would be considered a summer beer, but I would say it's the least summery out of the beers we've had, because if you're just sitting on the deck sipping this,
yeah,
you're going to be kind of like making a scrunchy face.
Exactly.
Because it's the aftertaste.
I don't know if scrunchy face is a technical term, but I buy it. I buy what you're selling. Because, okay. I mean, that's exactly what you do, right? You like kind of like purse your lips or do like one of these. That doesn't mean it's bad. I think this is a pretty good beer. I mean, but for the genre, I just don't know if this would be my personal choice for, like, kind of the theme or motif we're going for here. I also wanted to take a shot in the dark here as far as, like, a tasting note. Barley? Is that, like, something that would make a description?
Oh, Mike.
What?
Barley.
Yeah.
You're asking me if there is...
Is there barley in all beer?
Barley in this beer.
But, like, isn't
Mike,
it...
did you know that there is glass in your glass?
Okay. That's not what I meant. That's not what I meant. I meant that there is, like, a very strong barley flavor. Like, how there's hops in beer, but, you know, sometimes some beers are more hop-forward than other beers. Ergo, I'm wondering if this is, like, a very barley-forward beer.
I feel like this is an instance where the less I say, the less stupid I seem.
All right, so, there are some people out there, some crazy people, who feel that IPAs are a good summer beer. This is not an IPA, but it is a pale ale from Stone Brewing, and as such, basically tastes like an IPA, because West Coast people are insane and put way too much hops in their beer. So, I would not call this barley forward, because I would call this beer above average bitterness. And to me, that means hop forward. And
okay.
Not everything can be forward at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So I would describe this as a hop-centric beer. It is too hoppy for me to drink casually almost ever. But some people like this as a summer style, so I thought I'd throw it in there just in case. I think it's funny that you said you think of summer beers as a reward after a long... hot day of working or something, because for me it's like summer beers when you are relaxing on your porch front, winter beers when you're relaxing in front of the TV. That's the difference. But anyway, maybe I've said too much. What is our guess for the ABV?
I'll say it's hard to tell when it's that hopsy. Say 6.5. It's probably on the high end, but we'll see.
Yeah, because the IBUs sort of seem off the chart, right?
Right.
The interesting thing is that I'm going to do a little bit of a correction to my ignorance I displayed on the inaugural beer cast when we talked about double IPAs.
It is not about doing a Miller's thing where you're adding hops at multiple points. I have no idea why I said that. It is literally about just having double, and I'm using air bunnies for the people who can't see at home. It's about having just more hops into the recipe. So it's got a higher alcohol content, and it's got a higher amount of bitterness. What's very tricky about this is that the bitterness, I would say, definitely crosses over the threshold for what I would consider, like, if I'm doing this as an IPA, I would consider this towards the double IPA end of the spectrum, not the single. And I know from my research that the alcohol content cutoff is somewhere in like the 7-7.5 range for where it changes from being an IPA to a double IPA. So you said 6.5. To keep myself in the running, I'm going to say 6.6. I'm going to pray that the bitterness isn't just completely off from the alcohol content. Because I think that this is closer to being more of a double, which would have more than a 6.5 content. So I'm going to say 6.6, and I'm going to cross my fingers.
The beer is called Stone's Pale Ale 2.0. On the bottle, it says 6%.
Ouch. So, 6 flat, is that what it is?
I think I have to interpret that as 6 flat.
Okay.
If nothing else, rough. It rounds to 6 and not 7.
I was going to say, I don't know how you describe it. I'm not a huge fan of this beer, I have to say. It's like, it's bitter without the satisfying full flavor to it. Because you can have bitterness that accompanies flavor. But this, I was suspecting, was not a double or not that high in IPA, despite being that bitter. Because it doesn't have that, like, it's neither boozy, and it's also not, doesn't have, like, the full,
that's
like,
sweet tricky
flavor to it that you often accompanies higher alcohol.
Like, when I think of a 6 to 6.5 style IPA, it has less bitterness than this. So it's kind of, in fact, very tricky. And we'd actually discussed this before we hopped on the podcast, how bitterness is not necessarily directly in line with the alcohol content of a beer.
From my experience,
I feel like the bitterness outpaces the alcohol content for this one.
From my experience, being very bitter places you, well, I don't really know what I'm talking about, preface, but being very bitter without, like, other strong notes means you're not going to have a super high alcohol volume, because you're going to have a fairly high, like above a 6%, or I guess this is a 6%, but you're not going to, if it's going to be like that triple IPA that I gave you,
yeah,
that had like a really intense, like interesting aftertaste.
It did.
That, like,
it had
that
the booziness that Colton described to us the
I know
last time
that's
around.
My favorite
it
new
absolutely
beer word, booziness.
Did. Where you can actually taste the alcohol aspect of it, not just the beer flavor, but it has the booziness.
Booziness. When booziness is part of a well-balanced flavor profile, that's my favorite thing that happens in beer.
You should try this Terrapin Triple, was it right?
It was a rye triple IPA.
Yeah, triple IPA.
Terrapin Brewery.
Yep.
I'll have to get on that. And we will have to get on to the final beer of the night.
So, okay.
Well, so do we want to talk about the scoring?
I mean, are we going to give me a shot at redemption?
Yes.
Are you going to give me Redemption Island here?
Redemption Island.
So, Dan, you're in a runaway right now, 4-1. So,
yeah.
We're saying if I guess the alcohol content
to the tenth of a percent
on the nose, then we will go into sudden death.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's you win, 4-2.
All right. Is sudden death that I take, like, a beer out of my stock and just open a new beer and go another round?
We'll decide. If we have to cross that bridge, we'll decide
what
it is.
We can discuss it. We can come to an agreement.
All right. Let's look forward to beer number 6.
That
is this is like the lightest beer I've ever
seen.
That
is like blonde, champagne-y looking right there.
It's like, I thought you were bringing me a glass of water when you brought this over.
Grape juice, man. So this smells like, I've got some fucking Welch's with carbonation in it.
It's not quite water. It does have some color to it, but it is awfully transparent.
Here's a question.
Is it Strawberita? I don't think it's Strawberita. What was your actual question?
I was going to ask, well, never mind. It's not important. I'm not going to embarrass myself anymore. I'm going to just try really hard because I'm up first on these tasting notes, right?
You are.
So I got to internalize and focus
and get after this thing.
And I don't want to give anything away, but this is a triple.
Sure, Mr. Welch is over there.
So, I hope that our listeners at home have enjoyed this. Coming up next, after round six, we'll declare our champion, and then Dan and Mike will negotiate to rank these six beers from best to worst as summer beers, proclaim a beer champion. Mike is getting ready, stepping into the batter's box.
He's got his thoughtful face on.
Very pensive. Okay, so it's funny because I said Welch's or whatever when this came out, and it's very grapefruit to me. I think it really is. And it's extremely light. There is no aftertaste or like a rough finish or anything like that. It goes down very smooth. And it's kind of crazy to me the color of this. Like, I don't think I've ever actually seen a beer that is this light looking, that this airy, clear sort of looking kind of beer. So I don't know if I have that much to add, except that it's sweet, it's very carbonated. I feel like this is the cheapest beer of the ones we have had. And I'll kick it over to you, Dan.
This tastes a little bit like, it's like drinking air or drinking a cloud. Like, it's so light. It just, like, evaporates off your tongue. It's so, when I was a freshman in high school, like 12 years ago now or something, I went to a party, a marching band party. And they're the cool seniors. Actually, they were juniors. The cool juniors in my group.
There are no cool juniors.
Well, we didn't have any seniors in my section. So,
the juniors. The junior class, when we were freshmen,
They were legit, right?
The class one above us sucked ass. That was the worst group of human beings I've ever seen.
Let's take the marching band discussion offline.
Okay. Sorry. Anyways, so there were these people that I looked up to, and they had this bottle of stuff, and I thought it was beer. And they later told me it wasn't beer. They told me it was something called the Switch, which I had never heard of.
Yes.
But that's like juice that's carbonated.
Yeah.
And a year or two later, I finally got a bottle of it. And this is exactly what I remember it tasting like. Like, I'm not convinced that there's actually alcohol in this. Like,
yeah,
there, it is so sweet. It just tastes like juice with carbonation. I have trouble when things are, you know, telling the difference between, like, light grape juice as opposed to apple juice. Because my initial thought was apple, but I can definitely see how it would be grape.
It could be apple. I might actually be way off on that. I would have said white grape. The very interesting thing is, what if Colton was just conning us here? There's not actually any alcohol. Like, wouldn't that be the most ridiculous thing ever? Like, if he actually just served his Switch?
How good would it be if I called that? If
that's what you actually nailed did? That, you'd be the all-time beer cast champion.
Does anyone want to make a bold guess?
I gotta nail it. Yeah, right?
So let's hear what what Mike has to
say.
Well,
I meant a bold stylistic guess. Does anyone want to like hitch up their pants and say this is Switch or something?
I'm not going to go that far. I don't think you would buy fruit juice and serve it to us. Like, maybe you got a soda stream back there. You just bought some apple juice and put it in there. But I think this is actually, like, some sort of... I don't know if... Is it a cider? I'm not good at telling the difference between a cider and, like, a very fruity beer. I don't know if I could tell the two apart.
So, yeah, I mean, a cider, as far as I understand it, doesn't actually have beer in it. Correct?
Like hard cider?
Like hard ciders are made from fermented apples.
Yeah.
And there's not
they're not beer in hard cider. Yeah.
Okay. So that's something else. Okay.
So unless this is just literally a wild card, like this is some woodchuck or some, you know, crap like that right here. I don't really know what to say. I mean, wait, who's up? Am I up?
Do you want me to go first?
On stylistic whatever?
No. Are we doing ABV?
Oh, I'll go with ABV last.
Okay, because that's the...
I want all the information I can get before I guess ABV. So, what do you think for style? What would you call this?
I mean, it's like... It tastes like fruit juice with a hint of maybe something alcoholic, but it's maybe that's just the carbonation I'm tasting. Like, I legitimately... I can't really tell if there's actually out. Like, if you had gave this to me and said, is this carbonated juice or is this beer or is this something else? I would take a sip of it, and I would say, oh, that's sweet and that's tasty, but I have absolutely no idea.
See, for me, it reminds me of, like, if I had a very fruity, like, Pinot Grigio, and then you took a bottle of seltzer water, and you poured a little bit of that in.
Yeah, I could see that. Maybe not
like a spritzer, like, almost.
I wouldn't even go Pinot Grigio. I would go with, like,
a
one
Chardonnay?
Of the... No. Not
like
something that dry. No, not something dry. Something sweet. It was sweet white. I could definitely see this being, like, a sweet white mixed with a seltzer or something like that.
Yeah. Like a wine spritzer of some sort.
Yeah.
All right, man. What are you guessing for style?
That's it?
That's
the extent of our style.
So that's it for our style. Do you want to go with your ABV guess?
Now, wait a minute. You are up first, Mike.
I know, but I want all the information. I want Dan's ABV guess, and I want your description of the beer, and then I'm going to give it.
I will allow this if Dan allows it.
You know what? I'll just go
sure,
for
no,
it.
No, no,
do you want me just to go for it?
We can build to the dramatic finale. Does
that's
Mike
what I was
nail
thinking.
It?
I'm just going to, you know, try.
Okay, I'm gonna say 4.8% alcohol.
That was actually literally what I was gonna say.
Okay, so Colton, well, hold on, Colton, is it gonna be a spoiler if you tell us the style of the beer? Should he guess before you tell us the style?
Can I say 4.8 also? Can I double down on 4.8? I don't know.
By giving Mike more information, we're only going outside the bounds of the rules to the detriment of Dan. So if Dan allows it, I'll do it.
Okay, let's go.
All right. Can I swear on this podcast?
Yes.
This is fucking cider.
Is it?
Woodchuck.
The ingredients of the slice of life from Bee Nectar, which is a cidery in Michigan. The ingredients are, in order, apple cider, ginger juice, lemon juice. That's what you are drinking.
So, can I say something really quick? I want to give serious props to Dan for nailing that it was apple and not grape in terms of that sweet note. That's very impressive.
I loved listening to you guys describe this because the power of persuasion, you thought it was a beer. You expected I was giving you a beer. And so for it to be a cider was just like too far outside and you wouldn't quite go there. You kept getting closer and closer, but you were convinced
Dan
this must
apple.
Just be...
I said woodchuck.
Now
mean,
that you say ginger.
We said fruit.
Definitely
we asked if there's
ginger.
Any beer in that. In fact, we had a discussion in that about whether or not a cider was technically a beer.
And at the last beer cast, I gave you such bizarre flavors in beer that you were... prepped for this. You are prepped so that no matter how bizarre it is, it's still some kind of crazy beer.
Yeah, exactly. Like a lambic or whatever.
I should have expected. You had a shitty grin when you walked over. A little smug grin. Like, can't wait till you guys taste
bitch.
This.
And
so.
No beer is ever going to be that pale and light.
The next okay. time, he's just going to pour
I was
us,
wondering.
A
I have
tumbler
had,
of Jack Daniels and be like, here you go. Have fun with that one.
In Germany, they have many styles of wheat beer, more than we tend to make here. And one of them is called a Crystal Weiss. And this is clearer and paler than Crystal Weiss. And it's just insane. So yes, this is a cider. That's what you were drinking. And... I'm glad that you caught the fruit notes. I'm glad you got that it was like
can you call
juice.
It notes if it's actually fruit juice?
And there's no beer in this, but it is alcoholic, of course. It is a hard cider, which means it has an ABV.
That is non-zero.
Did Dan already hit it? Do I need to guess? Is that, that's the real question.
I feel like I should whisper into the mic. No. No. Dan's guess is not exactly correct. It is
okay.
not... 4.8% alcohol by volume.
So I got a chance.
However, you have to nail it. Even if you're closer, Dan still wins 4-2.
Yep.
And if you're further...
5-1. Ouch. How would that feel?
I'm going to go with 4.6%.
Let me pull out my little notepad
oh, no.
here. 5.5.
No way.
5.5%
wow.
on the slice 4.8 of light.
Takes it.
And let me, well, you guys sort of let that sink in. Start
that is
to think
a,
about
a bloodbath.
Your favorite summer beers.
I mean, do we even rank this in the summer beers?
Yeah, yep. So.
This whole beer cast is subject now.
let me apologize for one thing. I went to the bottle shop today. A week ago, they got in all the fall line of their pumpkin beers and their Märzens and their everything
else. We were
just
talking about that.
And so it was really hard for me to find the summer beers that I wanted. I wanted to get you guys like a Kolsch, I thought maybe a Hefeweizen, but it was hard to find beers that really qualified as summer beers still left on the wall at the beginning of August. So that's why I had to dip into the shandy, had to dip into the cider, and I hope that you will forgive me. It's not my fault. It's still on theme. It's a summer drink. A lot of people go to cider, even beer people go to cider in the summer, so I felt that it qualified. That's my defense.
Hey, man, I'll drink cider. I'm in on that. I don't care what that says about me as a man. I'll drink cider.
There's nothing wrong with you. It's gluten-free.
I'm not even going to file an informal protest because Dan wiped the floor with me.
5-1.
I mean, this is just outrageous. This is like...
You need to win big next time, Mike.
I mean, I squeaked out on like a BS tiebreaker the first one. And then Dan was having none of that business this time. That is the 5-1 on the ABV.
Went Rhonda on you.
And I even had like all of the information. I feel like most ciders are between like 5.2 and 4.5, right?
That's a
pretty
tell you.
Strong cider.
Colton doesn't seem like the cider type to me.
No, there's a lot of cider in my house. My wife is gluten-free, but...
Yeah, so Kathleen, everyone in her family has, like, celiac disease. Like, freaking everybody. So, well, not everybody. But anyways, there's a lot of people, and she drinks ciders, too. And I'm trying to remember, like, she really likes Crispin cider. And I thought that's, like, a 5%. And, like, the Stella Artois Cidre is, I wanted to say, was, like, somewhere in the 4.5% to 5% range. So,
if you got anything nice near you, like a Whole Foods or something, you should look for the Albemarle Cider Works. That place is down near Charlottesville, and they make some really good hard cider.
Huh.
Yeah, the Stella Artois Cidre is 4.5%. So, yeah, that's a strong cider. So, even with all of the information, way off.
So, Mike is forced to relinquish his crown after just one victory.
And championship belt. There you go.
I'll take the belt. 1-1.
There you
go. Our two beer casts.
Now let's talk about which of these beers is a real winner. What do you guys think?
So do we even need to rate the cider among the beers?
I included it in my ranking.
The shandy is as much a beer as the cider is.
So I was thinking if I was sitting out on the porch, what beers would I most want to drink? And I did come up with a ranking.
So let's start at the top. Because basically I have three that I almost gave like no sort of rating or notes to because they just weren't like good enough for me to say like I like this much. It was I wouldn't drink this again, if that makes sense.
Sure.
So my number one beer was the second one we had, which is the Three Stars Peppercorn Saison.
Me too. That's what I had at my number one ranking. I really liked it. It was an interesting, it had like the full Belgian flavor to it with but it also had the summer crispness to it.
Right.
So I was very impressed by that beer. I would drink a whole bottle of that for sure.
And are you rating yours on what you think is the most good summer beer or good beer period?
I'm imagining that I am grilling brats in my deck. And it's a little hot. I'm feeling the sweat building on my forehead. And I reach for the table where I have my plate and I have my little grill thing.
Right.
And what I take a sip, what do I imagine?
Brats,
what do I want?
Brats and or burgers of some sort. Yeah, I agree with you. So that was my top dog.
Uh-huh.
My second highest rated was the wheat beer was number 4, the Hell's Endeck Germany. What was your second favorite one?
You're killing me, Mike, because that's exactly what I had at number 2. The one that Colton noted banana flavor in it had a it was a fairly light wheat German beer.
I'm now glancing at your sheet because we've gotten so many the same. And we actually have the same for the third place.
The first one. That was
the one that I thought was an American Pilsner and or lager question mark. That's how I should have known then that this beer cast is going to go poorly for me. When I was like, oh yeah, that's my suggestion. It's just not even in the same family. The Summer Love Ale by Victory Brewing Company.
That one was fairly hopsy, but surprisingly refreshing, and I definitely would look forward to that one.
Okay. So then the next ones I haven't actually rated, so let's just, I guess, talk about them. So the third beer we had was the one that my main tasting note on that was sweet.
So you had the three left of the Shandy. That was the third one we drank.
Yep.
The Very Bitter Stone Ale. Mm-hmm. That was the fifth one we drank, and then, of course, the cider.
Okay. So if we're talking about this seriously, I would put the third one we had, the South Street 365 Shandy, I put that as my next one. Because that's a beer that I think, beer-ish, right? Beer-ish.
There's beer in it.
There's some beer in it that fits with summer. So that would be my number four.
Yeah, that's what, I had that as my number four. I can't believe we have the same ranking so far. This is kind of disappointing.
So then I'll say that my...
I wanted to fight you, Mike.
Well, there's nothing to fight about. Well, first of all, I think it's like almost indisputable, in my opinion, that the second beer we had, that Saison, was the best.
That was really good. We had.
And then between one and four, I thought was kind of close, between the wheat beer and the Summer Love Ale.
So now we have, so we both put the Shandy, and so that leaves the cider... and the Stone. I honestly would rather sip a cider than I would sip that. That Stone IPA, or it wasn't an IPA, but was it an IPA?
A pale ale.
It was a pale ale. Okay. That overwhelmed me a little bit. I don't know if I'm waiting 15 minutes for my brats to grill and I'm sipping a beer out there, I don't think I want something quite so overwhelming. I'd rather have the cider even though it's not beer. Say what you will, man.
Are we going to fight over the last two positions?
I mean, it's kind of an inconsequential fight, but let's do it. All right. So here's what I'm going to say. Now, that Stone beer might not be a great summer beer, but you know what?
It's beer.
It's beer. The cider was some like double agent bullshit right here, where even masquerading as a beer to the beer cast. This isn't... The fucking cider cat. I was like, excuse me, is this an R-rated podcast? Can I swear on this podcast?
You've turned it into one and you're outraged against this cider.
I just realized I started dropping some serious curse words here in this last sentence, but the cider isn't even a beer.
Colton, this is isn't even a beer. What we in the business call loser talk.
Right? My goal in both beer casts has been to make sure that the last thing you drink is something that Mike really hates.
But here's the thing. Did I hate that? No. It was friggin' delicious.
You thought it was beer.
I could drink that. That's like my breakfast beer, is how I would describe that. Like, I woke up at like 8 a.m. and I had stuff to do. That is the beer I would drink.
You get a bowl, fill it with some Cinnamon Toast Crunch, pour that beer all over, oh, that cider all over it.
Exactly. So, I don't know. But as far as beers go, I mean, the other one was at least a beer. I guess, here's a better way to do it. Instead of ranking these two, let's agree that the cider was at least a cider. So, you know, like, for, like, the same reason, like, you don't, like, make fun of people for, like, different or something like that. Let's just not even talk about the cider for a second. It's just different.
Yeah, when people are different, you try not to talk about them, right?
You associate with them.
You try to form clubs that they can't join.
Oh, my God, dude.
Dude, this just took a dark turn.
Yeah, what is going on here?
I don't know, man. You're getting pretty racist against the cider.
I'm not getting racist. I'm more thinking of, like, if somebody... was, I don't know, in a wheelchair because they were paralyzed from the waist down, you wouldn't be like, why aren't you running fast at this 100-meter dash because they're in a wheelchair? That's how I look at the cider.
I've got a question for you, Mike. Do you think there was barley in that cider?
Oh, my God. I'm going to hit you. It's going to be the last beer cast. Break stuff. I bombed on this.
I think it's interesting that we came up with the same ranking, though. That's very interesting. I mean, effectively, we might be off on our last one.
Yeah, I guess I only ranked like three of them.
We found similar notes to be what we associated with summer.
Right. So let's talk about number five, then. Let's talk about like the one beer that we had.
Debatably summer.
That so is the things, like...
The things that we identified as summerish before this was some combination of lightness, fruitiness, and sweetness.
Right.
And I didn't find any of those things in the Stone IPA. The Stone Pale Ale.
Borrow a ridiculous term from Anheuser-Busch.
Uh-huh.
Drinkability. I think drinkability actually matters for anything you consider a summer beer. When people think about summer, they think about vacation, relaxing, or the alternative, which is activity outside. So this is the kind of thing you'd want to have at a ballpark, or you want to have, you know, otherwise associated with that. I feel like the other four, the really one through four, so all of those, you could conceive that you would purchase that beer or otherwise choose to drink that beer given options as a summer beer, correct?
Yeah.
But the fifth one we had, the Stone Pale Ale, that's just not what you would drink, right? In the summer?
I mean, I would repeat what I said. Is it like the things I associate with summer? It has none of those characteristics.
Right. Would you consider drinking that beer, though, at another time?
Maybe, but I think maybe it's just that Colton has influenced my palate too much, but I thought that the flavor didn't match the bitterness. So I would say I didn't particularly enjoy the little sip of it that I had here. But I mean, of course I have a bottle of it. It would be all right. But I like my ales, my bitter ales, to have a little bit more flavor. And I would say that we saw some examples of ales that had some bitterness to them, but still had something refreshing and flavorful about them. And to me, that wasn't that one.
For that beer, the Stone Pale Ale, I personally would be very interested to try it with like a beef stew or some other sort of hearty meal, kind of like a fall or a winter meal to go with it, which is the opposite of what you think about with summer.
Right, that's the exact opposite.
But what you really need, I think the problem with that beer wasn't the beer itself. The problem is that there's no pairing with it. I think you need something to cut through the bitterness.
Yeah.
So for all I know, that could be really good with something that's very savory or something like that.
Right.
You have some sort of complement to it, I could see it working. As a standalone, let me just drink this beer, maybe not good. As a beer to go with a dish of some sort,
right,
there might be something that makes that beer work good. So I'd be interested to try that at a different time.
That's a good concluding note there, I think, that to spin that a different way, the opposite way, is that what we value in a summer beer is that you can just kind of drink it on its own and it's refreshing to some degree. And I think we the ones that we liked, the ones that we identified as summery beers, definitely all had that where you could just sip it and it satisfied on its own. It didn't need anything to complement it. It was refreshing on its own. Whereas that something that doesn't have that attribute would prevent it from being a summer
so
beer.
Do we still want to play the game where we guess which beer the public at large, the experts, think is the best beer of all of these?
No, I think we can pass on that for now.
We established a favorite. We're the experts now. We're the beer advocates.
Yeah, I hope everyone has learned something today about what makes a good summer beer. I'd like to congratulate Dan, our new BeerCast champion.
Hey.
I'd like to congratulate the 3 Stars Peppercorn Saison, our beer champion of the evening.
It's a DC local, too.
So perhaps we can wrap up with Colton. Any rebuttals or agreements with what me and Mike just spent several minutes saying about what we felt about summer beers and these specific beers?
I'm very happy with your ranking. I'm particularly happy because I will admit, prior to this podcast, I had never had the Peppercorn Saison or anything else by that brewery. And that's the one I got that was sort of a big wine-sized bottle. Everything else was a normal 12-ounce. So I feel like that's an investment I made based on some advice that I got about summer beers from the internet. And they had pointed me to that one specifically, and I think it paid off very well.
All right. Well, that wraps up BeerCast number 2, Summer Beers. We'll have to bring.
Can I interject one last thing?
Let's hear it, Mike.
Sorry. What is our feeling on editing out the part where I said the beer was barley forward?
I would say there is a 0%
chance. There's a 0% chance.
I'm editing that out.
All right, get back on the horse next time.
In fact, we might cut that clip, copy it, put it at the very front at 000.
Is there just barley in this beer? Is there barley in this beer?
Just run it on loop. Oh, goodness.
All right, folks. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you for BeerCast number 3.
But there is one more ingredient to this battle, our secret ingredient, the theme on which our chefs will offer their succulent variations. Today's secret ingredient is...